For us to be a good testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have finished my course. I have finished the race there. Finishing well is important. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says that we are to run the race with patience. That's where it means endurance. The race that is set before us. We are to keep on enduring in the race, not to give up, not to quit, but we are to finish well. The goal is that we may access the finish line there and receive the reward. Paul said that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness because he had finished his course. He had kept the faith. And for us, we've studied before how that we wish that one day that we would be able to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we are to continue in the race. We're to continue putting forth our effort to endure the race that God has set before us so that we would be worthy of God's reward. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. 1 Timothy deals with this and can be divided into two basic parts. The first part is the first three chapters that we've been looking at, and it contains the positive instruction that Paul gave to this young Timothy for the church of Ephesus. And the last three chapters is the second part, which contains negative warnings that he gives as well that are just as important. Before he entered into his negative warnings, Paul gave these last few words of 1 Timothy 3 that we want to look at, beginning to look at today. Then he shared about both his purpose of writing, the master, the mission, and the message of the church. We're going to divide it into two parts, but today's message, I'm going to deal with the master of the church. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that we would see very clearly the truth in which you have given to us. You have preserved it. You have had us to be here today. And I pray that we're here with open ears to hear, that we would let nothing distract us in our thoughts, but we would concentrate upon what you have for us. Father, you promise that your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish that which you intend. And I pray that you would use it today in each one of our hearts and lives, that we might not just understand its truth, but Lord, in light of that, how should we be living today as we go forward? Thank you, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to look, first of all, at the behavior of the church, found in verses 14 and 15. Paul writes, he says, these things write I unto you, to thee, that hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Let's stop right there. Paul says, these things have I written unto you. This is why my purpose of writing here to you, Timothy, for the people there in Ephesus, these believers, so that you would know how to conduct yourself, to behave yourself in God's house, which is the church of the living God. How are we to behave ourselves as believers today? And so he addresses this, and we are supposed to conduct ourselves and behave ourselves as part of God's family, as part of God's church. A lot of what we've already studied in the first three chapters has dealt with this, but how is your life when it comes to these practical issues? How is your life as we looked at the character qualities that have been listed? How do you measure up in God's opinion, in God's eyes, with these things? Vance Havner made a statement. He said, to cast a beneficial shadow, you must walk in the light. In the light of God's word, if we're going to cast a beneficial shadow for others to see, an example for others to follow, a legacy that we will leave behind us, hopefully we will be found faithful. It's been said that your life is the only Bible that some people will ever read. And I believe that to be true. Not everyone will step foot in a church like this. There are many people that don't have any desire to come to church. They don't have any desire to read God's Word. And many times, if you give them a tract, they don't have any desire to read a tract even. But they'll watch your life. They'll see you as a co-worker. They'll see you as a neighbor. They'll see you as someone that they've come in contact with, and your life can make an impression upon them. Your life can be a gospel witness unto them. And certainly we understand that it needs to be more than that. But in order to win the opportunity to share the truth of God's Word, where faith comes by hearing the Word of God, we have the responsibility to live in such a way that opens that door. Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conversation, Steve was reading the same word there, that we are to be holy in our conversation, our behavior. Only let your behavior, your conduct as a citizen of heaven, only let it be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word becometh there means to be in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to live in such a way that it allows people to say, hey, there's something about you that's different. I'd like to know what that something is. And it draws them then and opens the door for more of the gospel to be presented. Maybe you've heard this particular poem before. It reads, it says, if none but you in the world today had tried to live the Christ-like way, could the rest of the world look close at you and find the path that is straight and true? If none but you in the world so wide had found the Christ for his daily guide, would the things you do and the things you say lead others to live in his blessed way? Ah, friends of the Christ, in the world today are many who watch you upon your way and look to the things you say and do to measure the Christian standard true. Men read and admire the gospel of Christ with its love so unfailing and true. But what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? You are writing each day a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. 'Tis the only gospel that some men will read, that gospel according to you. We have a responsibility to conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the behavior of the church. We are the ones that God has given the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ for that purpose, a representative of His, and it's important that we represent Him properly. Not only do I want us to see here the behavior of the church, but I also want us to understand the master of the church. You know, it's not difficult to understand that the church belongs to God. It's not hard to understand that Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the one who owns it. It's His church. We may say, this is my church, or this is your church, but we only speak of it by way of identification. We identify with this particular local assembly, and we praise the Lord for that, and we should. But it is God's church. It's not ours. Ephesians 1:22, it says that God gave Jesus Christ to be the head over all things to the church. In Colossians 1:16, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. He is the Creator. And whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, they are ranks of angels. So He is Creator of all things, visible and invisible. Here, even in heaven, He has created all things. And it says there that all things were created by Him and for Him. And he is before all things. He is eternal. And by him all things consist. The word means to be held together. The very things that we call the laws of nature, they are constants that are within our universe and in our universe and in our world. But the reason that they are constant is because the Lord Jesus Christ holds them so. And so it's the consistency there. By him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The word means the first place. He deserves to have first place in our lives because he is the head of the body, the church. He is the one that is in control. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 asked the disciples a question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples began to answer and said, "Well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist." But he stopped them and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And you remember that Peter spoke up and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, God the Son." That was what he was talking about. That's what he was making the statement on. And you remember Jesus' words to Peter in verse 18. It's a play on words that the Lord Jesus used. He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And the two words that were in play in the Greek is the word for Peter, Petros, a little rock, a little stone, and Petra, the large boulder or part of the cliff that's there. He was not saying that Peter is what we're going to build the church on, but he says, "You're a little stone, and upon this great massive rock, I'm going to build my church." What was the rock that he was speaking of? It's what Peter had testified of in his answer. It's on the fact, the truth, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, God the Son. And upon that rock, I will build, Jesus said, my church. It's his church. It's not ours. It's not the mine. It all belongs to him. And we need to recognize that as such. So we understand that it is the church that belongs to him. Why does it belong to him? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul had gathered the elders together at the church of Ephesus, and he began to speak to them, and he said in verse 28, the last part, to these pastors, he said that they are to feed the church of God, which Christ has purchased with his own blood. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ because he died for it. He purchased it with his shed blood. We praise the Lord for that. We understand that particular aspect. So with that then, we understand who the church belongs to. But now the question is, what is the church? What is the church? Well, is it this building, this property? Well, I'm going to say yes and no. Mainly no. I'm going to say yes from this standpoint. We speak of it as such. I tell my wife Saturday night, "Hey, I'm going to run up to the church and turn on the heat so it won't be so cold Sunday morning when we meet in here. Right? I'm going up to the church." Well, I'm going up here to the property. Some of you say, "Hey, going down to the church, we're meeting there to practice the special music." Right, we're going to the church. We speak of the property here, the buildings, as being the church, and as such it is in that regard. But the church is not just buildings. Matter of fact, the only reason that these buildings are spoken of as the church is because the people of God assemble here. That's the only reason why it's a church. If we assembled at a house, the house would be the church, which meets at such and such's house. Because the church are the people.
I don't know if I can do it.
What's the little thing the children sing? They say, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door. Okay. It's the people that make the church. It's important for us to realize that. So when I speak about the behavior of the church, we're talking about its people. When I speak about the master of the church, I'm talking about the master of us as God's people. He is the master. He, the church, we belong unto Him. The word church in the Greek is the word ekklesia. It means assembly of called out ones. We've been called out of sin. We've been called out of this world. We've been called out of our homes to assemble together as believers, to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we come together. And that's church. Now, in all due respect to those of you that are watching on TV right now with maybe our YouTube channel and later as you watch, watching at home for some temporarily or for those that are shut in may be what they have to do, but that's not the final goal. That's not church. Church is assembly. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, the author of Hebrews says, so that we can encourage one another, we can provoke one another unto love and to good works. And so we are to be assembled together as the church. We're to come together as the church family, and we are to worship and serve our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, because the church is God's church, He is, as I said, the Master and the Lord of it. Well, that has several aspects that I want you to understand. The first one, if you'll flip over with me to Luke chapter 19. At the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus told His disciples to go into a neighboring village, and you'll find a donkey there, a colt there. And I want you to loose him and bring him, and if anybody asks any questions, let's read it. There's a play on words here in the Greek as well. I'll start reading in verse 30, saying, Jesus said there, go into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man has sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? This shall you say unto him, because the Lord, here's the key word I want you to understand, the Lord, kuros is the word, hath need of him. And they that were sent away their way, and found even as he said unto them, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. Now we see Lord twice. Did you know the Greek word kuros there appears three times in those verses? Both of them as Lord, but the other one as owners. Same words. One of the aspects of Jesus Christ being Lord of our life is He is the owner of us. We belong to Him. And it said there, here, when you say it this way, Jesus said, go get the colt. If anybody asks you, say the owner has need of it. And so they went, and as they loosed him, the owner said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, hey, the owner hath need of him. The owner. We can say the same thing today. Out in the parking lot, you may have a vehicle sitting out there and have a title with your name on it. That's your truck, your car. But is it? As stewards of God, everything that we have has been given to us by God, and we are stewards of it. And so the Lord, the owner, may say unto you, I have need of your vehicle. Is it okay for the Lord to use that? Hey, if you recognize it's His, it better be. It better willingly be. We have to realize that what we have belongs to the Lord. He is the owner, and that includes ourself. Because in 1 Corinthians 6, you remember 19 and 20? What, know you not that your body is the temple of God? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. We don't belong to ourselves. For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It belongs to Him. My body belongs to God. My life belongs to God. And so He is the owner. He is my Lord, my Master, the one who has absolute ownership. The second thing that it alludes to is that found in Matthew 28 and verse 18. You remember the great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave just before He told them to go to spread the gospel. He said that all power, in verse 18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. The word power is actually the word that means or has the connotation of authority. All authority is given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. In other words, I am Lord of all. And that's what we have in Acts 10:36, that very statement. He is Lord of all. He has authority in heaven and earth. So not only does He have ownership of all things, but He has authority over all things. He is Lord. And thirdly, it means the one who expects and deserves willing sacrifice. We are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to serve Him willingly with our lives. We are to give that willing service just like they have exemplified in the Old Testament right on through the New. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, the people willingly offered themselves unto the Lord. They willingly offered. God is looking for our willingness. It reminded me of the third verse, I believe it is, of the Whippoorwill song that I've sung here before. In that song, it said, I could demand your love, I own you twice, but only willing love is worth the price. He paid the price. He created us, I own you twice. He created us, and He redeemed us. He bought us with His blood. But He's looking for the willing love that's worth that price. We need to recognize that we belong to Him. He is our Lord and He is our Master. When we consider both of these truths together, both Master of the church and the behavior of the church, we see the following comparison. Now, follow with me a little bit here. In Proverbs 20 and verse 11, it says, even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his doings. All children should behave themselves for two reasons. Number one, number one, because it reflects upon the Christian family. Excuse me. We have been studying here in 1 Timothy about the qualifications of a pastor and the qualifications of deacons. And both of those that had listed that their children, they were to have them in subjection. They were to be ruling their family and their children well, their household well. And those are not just qualifications for a pastor, but they're good qualities to help all of us as believers in our families. So our children are to behave. Our children are to obey and should have that kind of behavior because it reflects upon the Christian family. Secondly, they should behave because it reflects upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We claim to be Christians. So how do we represent Jesus Christ as a child in the home? That would be a question to ask. But the second thing that I want you to understand is in the application of us as God's children. Why should God's children behave? And it's because it reflects upon the church family. And it reflects upon our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that when we're in this world, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me. Not you should be. You're going to be a witness of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you going to be a good one, a proper one, or are you going to mislead people by your life? And so we are to be a representative, an ambassador of Jesus Christ properly, representing him. And so God's children should behave because it reflects upon the testimony of the church. I had a person ask me yesterday if a particular family still attended this church. And anytime I hear that, I've told you before, you know, my heart goes, uh-oh. Yes, they do. Well, it was all good. That was good. But I've also heard, yes, they do. And it's like, well, I ain't never coming there at the union. I'm thinking, oh, man, what's been up with that? And so you have to understand that our lives as believers represent the testimony of this church. We represent, more importantly, the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we need to live appropriately in our behavior because of how it reflects upon God. It may not be fair that that's true to our parents, or it may not be fair to God. That he has to rely upon us to represent him. But that is what he has chosen to do. Therefore, we're told in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, in other words, the person that testifies that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We are to mimic our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to walk like him. Colossians 1:10 says that we are to walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing. And so the decisions that we make and the way that we live is not just to please ourselves, but we live in order to please him who has called us to be a soldier. We read it later on. And so it is important to understand that. Now, having heard the message, I want you to bow your heads and I want you to think about what these next few words have to say. Are you, not talking about your spouse, not talking about your children, not talking about your parents, but are you running the race God has set for you? If you are, may I encourage you to keep running. Keep enduring. Don't give up. But if you slow down, it's time now to move forward. There are two reasons why we all need to be moving forward. Number one, to please the Lord who has called you from darkness into his marvelous light. And secondly, in order to cast a proper shadow, to leave a good example, a good legacy for others to follow. What will you be known for? If right now we had to put an epitaph on your grave, what would it say? Would it speak about your faithfulness unto the Lord? Would it speak about your service unto him? Would it speak about your character? What is it that defines your life? Do we need to move forward? Secondly, I want you to understand that when you got saved, you received Jesus Christ not just as your Savior, but the Scripture says we also received Him as our Lord, our Master. Receiving Him as Savior is something that we do because it saves us from the penalty of our sin. We don't have to die and go to hell to pay for our sin. Jesus Christ did that. God loved us so much He sent His Son to die for us. And He has offered it freely. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be saved from the penalty of our sin by trusting what Jesus Christ did on Calvary to be our payment of sin. When we make that choice, salvation takes place. But it's not just a salvation from the future hell and to get to go to heaven, but there's a present relationship. He is our Lord, our Master, the one who owns us, the one who has all authority over us, the one whom we are to be willingly seeking to please and to serve. He is the shepherd of the sheep, the Scriptures tell us. And the sheep have the responsibility of hearing His word and following Him. Do you willingly follow the Lord's lead? Or do you fight it? Do you willingly surrender to what He says? The world at its worst needs the church at its best, it's been said. What is your choice in representing the Lord Jesus Christ as the church in the world today? Father, I pray that we will have evaluated our lives properly and make sure that there's nothing between. And Lord, that we would be willing to say, here's my life. Take it, Lord. I consecrate it unto You. I give it, I dedicate it unto You. I want to be the example that will please You. Father, help us to leave out of here today with that commitment. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.